Good morning, Talk of the Town. Hello?
Duke?
Yes.
Hey, I'm sorry. It's Kurt Dykstra.
Yeah.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. Yeah, I'm actually just leaving the Pearl Nest right now.
Oh.
So I'm on my way to you, but I thought perhaps we could chat a bit from the radio. Or
okay.
From the telephone, if that works for you.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Great.
What do you want to talk about this morning?
Well, we can talk about, why don't we start with the Pearl Nest? As it, you know, questions on it, and it is really impressive. About 200 people.
Yeah.
And, hold on one. About 200 people and a crew of about 60. You know, really, really an impressive ship. The crew and a few of the passengers we bumped into have all had remarkable things to say about our community. So, the Holland area is putting out its best foot for welcoming our visitors from really across the country and around the world.
Yeah.
This particular one left from Chicago, and other ones will leave from Toronto, and met a fella from South Carolina and from the Netherlands and another place.
No kidding.
A really neat thing for us.
Yeah, it is. It is. I remember the old days when we had the boat leaving that dock every night for Chicago.
Yep.
And the old sidewheelers.
Well, yeah. And, you know, for so many years, there really wasn't much in the way of cruises, at least that came to our part of Lake Michigan.
No.
For this to kick in, I think really is both a neat thing and my hunch is a pretty popular opportunity. Talking with some of the crew members, they said that they've had tremendous interest, and all the cruises they've booked so far or taken so far have been virtually full. And it's interesting, you know, that the ship goes down in November, goes down to the Caribbean for a bit, then goes into dry dock for some repairs and upgrades, and comes out in February and cruises the Bahamas a bit, and then heads back up to the Great Lakes next spring.
Well, it looked like a pretty modern ship, so I think that would, bringing it up to date like that would make the trip a whole lot more fun, too.
Yeah, indeed. They took us into the bridge, for example, and there's no wheel.
No wheel. Isn't that amazing?
It's all electronic, one form or another. So,
yeah, that's amazing.
It's pretty neat. So that's, you know, it's a fun thing going on. And,
yeah.
We've got a groundbreaking this morning for the hotel.
Hotel, right.
Which is also another bit of good news for the community.
Yes. What's the date of completion approximately?
I haven't heard a specific date. I've heard the term fall of 2015. So.
Okay.
So I think that
I'll have to wait a little bit for lunch.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. It gives them a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
If the winter is cold and snowy or something, they can
have
a little bit of wiggle room.
No,
it'll be really a wonderful thing for downtown and really for the community, I think, to have another hotel offering one of our major industries around here, in addition to the ones that we typically think of, furniture and automotive, food processing, and all those kinds of things. You certainly tourists.
Well, it seems like the Civic Center's been a topic of discussion again for the last few days.
You know, I am just outside the studio, so I thought maybe we'd talk Civic Center when I was sitting right across from you, and we can hopefully take some calls on that too.
Okay. All right.
The hotel groundbreaking is a good thing. The other major construction project heading in the downtown area, of course, is the power plant project, and that's well on its way. And on schedule, and everything's working great with it. So, Patty is so good, she's letting me right in. I promise we won't do it this way again.
Well, it doesn't work as well this way. Okay. Oh, boy, that's pretty good, huh?
Here we go.
Yeah. All
Thank
right.
you, Duke.
So, the latest on the Civic Center seems to be let's tear it down.
Well, that's certainly an option, and part of the issue is that for a long time the Civic has, at least since the area center didn't happen and the Voss Fieldhouse was built, some of the major tenants of the Civic Center no longer have been there. But we kept using it for a whole host of things, Because frankly, the it's built, obviously, it's paid for,
right.
And there isn't a lot of cost associated with it. Some of the maintenance kinds of things, surely, but we've got some things that have to be done to the building, hundreds of thousands of dollars minimum worth of things to put in, and that sort of makes you ask
updated.
The question.
I think we have a call coming in. Good morning, you're online with the mayor.
I'd like to know, was the mayor on his way there, and was he talking on the phone on the way there?
He was talking on the phone on the way here.
I wasn't texting, though.
He wasn't texting. Okay, thank you. All right, 395-1450 if you want to talk to the mayor this morning.
So the point is that we've got some serious money to put into the Civic Center, which causes you to think, all right, it sort of forces the decision of, okay, what are we going to do with this place? What is the long-term future for either that building or the site? Because it's a minimum of a couple hundred thousand dollars to fix some of the water issues that have, after 60 years, started to really become an issue. Then there's some other things that have sort of safety features associated with them, and so pretty quickly we're at about $500,000, and then you still essentially have the same building you had before.
Well, I guess you have to decide if you want a gymnasium or if you want a municipal building where you can have all kinds of programs. And
right.
So.
Well, and that's part of the question. I mean, obviously the Civic is much beloved and has a lot of memories for lots and lots of people, and I think everybody in the city and on the council for sure understand and recognize that. But your point is well taken. The Civic was built first and foremost as an athletic arena. And, Hope doesn't play there anymore, and Holland hasn't played there for a long time. And, Holland Christian still plays there, but our last conversations with Holland Christian, they didn't seem to have the view that they would at least commit to being there long term. So you lose most of your major arena-type tenants, and then things like the Nykirk competition has moved out, and so a whole host of things that historically have filled the kind of arena use of the building are no longer present. And do you spend anywhere from, I've seen numbers all over the place, but to really do a credible job of updating the building, fixing the building, updating the building, putting in air conditioning, for example, updating the locker rooms and the lobby space and restrooms and, fixing the curtains and redoing all of the finishes and fixtures. We're talking anywhere from $6 to $10 million, probably, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you spend that kind of money and you have a facility that is still designed to be a 1950s era gymnasium.
Right.
Now, for roughly the same money, at least on a square foot basis, there is not a whole lot of difference in cost between a renovation along the lines I've just discussed or some sort of new facility. So it really forces you to think, okay, can we do better for the next 50 years with a facility, whatever it looks like, that's designed for more of our current uses as opposed to continuing.
Let's check this call.
Great.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Good morning. I hear you got the ice bucket challenge.
I do. Yes. So that'll be this afternoon. So look for it online sometime, hopefully late afternoon. Yeah, the Fox 17 morning crew, Mike Avery and Sarah Broadhead, they threw it down. It was totally tied up in meetings yesterday, so I didn't even see it till later yesterday afternoon. And oh my word! So we're planning a couple of things. Hopefully it'll turn out okay. I've enlisted the assistance of some local athletic teams to hopefully provide some help, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
We're doing our taping and dunking, so to speak, mid afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And do you know who you're challenging?
I have maybe Juke. No, I haven't. Haven't quite gotten that far. I'm just trying to get my head in the game of getting ready to be wet and cold.
Oh, you can start right down the line with the council.
Oh, that's a good point.
There we go.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. We're here with the mayor, and our number is 395-1450. If you'd like to talk to him this morning. The road construction is doing pretty good all over the city. That's in progress.
Yeah, it is. Though we don't this particular year seem to have as much really in-depth road construction as we have in previous years. And part of it is part of its budget. Part of it is we're working ahead to some other projects. So in future years we'll make up for it, right? Central Avenue, everybody's favorite topic, which has certainly been on the drawing board for a while, and the holdup on that project. is a little bit funding, but it's also what goes underneath the road. We're trying to make sure we put the right
pipes
in.
That's very important.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on with the mayor.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the fire station on by Collin Park there. Why they're thinking about tearing that down? What's the problem with that building?
Well, that's one of the options. What we're talking about is there's a bunch of work that needs to happen to that facility. If for no other, we obviously have firefighters who live there year round, 24/7, and the building, for example, was not designed for men and women, so it presents a bit of a challenge, and it frankly is a bit tired, and there are some other issues that are associated with it. So one of the things that we the council tasked the department to do is look at a question of, okay, before we invest a lot of resources into that specific building and that specific site, what might a new building and potentially a new site look like? And first and foremost, the question is that the right site for a fire station to deal with response times and coverage areas and those kinds of things, and, you know, easy access to get onto major roads to get to fires quickly? So it's more, no decision's been made yet, but if you're going to spend substantial dollars on something, you look and you say, okay, is this the right investment to make? Or, given the fact that we're going to be having to spend some dollars, should we be looking more broadly about whether or not this is the right location? Can we get more for the money on a different site? And what other uses might the existing property be put to? So it's kind of a multifaceted decision process, and no decision's been made, but you can't make a decision like that till you have the facts. So the fire department's looking, or the public safety department's looking into what the options are and what the dollars associated with each option would be.
It would still have to be in near that location, wouldn't it?
Somewhere in that general vicinity. They've identified some sites that could potentially be both available and good locations. And then you weigh the intangible things. The fact that, you know, you're right across from the park, which has a nice benefit to have the firefighters right there. But on the other hand, it's nice quasi-waterfront property, certainly water view property, that has a certain degree of value associated with it. And, would we be better served letting some residential-type development happen there, put the fire station somewhere else that's at a better location to get to places more quickly? And ultimately, you look at, what's the cost-benefit? If there's a site that's better suited for response times, but it's three times the cost of building a station there as opposed to what we'd have to do on the existing site, well, that'll certainly be a factor that council considers.
What else did you have on your mind today? Anything special?
Well, when you ride past it, it looks awfully good.
It looks good the way it is, huh?
Not bad.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
What else do I have on your list today?
Boy, we made the cut on the Georgetown University Energy Prize. It's a prize that many cities across the country, now down to under 50, have been competing for. It has to do with the overword used of sustainability. Everything's sustained. It's a nice buzzword. It's sort of like what economic development used to be about 5 years ago. But the important thing for us to consider is conservation. I think that's a more helpful word for us to kind of wrap our head around what we're talking about doing. And we're pretty geared that way as a people in this part of the world, right? Many of us are accused of being tight.
Yes.
And I consider it to be frugal.
Frugal,
right, exactly. So we want to make sure that, we save the money that we can, and we're engaging in process to do that. And there's a big prize out there that if we win it, will help us fund some of the energy improvement,
that'll
energy
agree.
Conservation programs. So we're down to 50, which isn't a bad thing.
Good morning. You're on with the mayor.
Yeah. I'm wondering if any decision has been made on those things by Collins Park, those, I don't know what you call them, those things that come out that are temporary there.
Sure. Yep. I know what you're talking about. As you go on Van Ralty around the bend past the Boatworks restaurant, for example, there's some temporary poles, if you will, that have been set out that there's some discussion about potentially narrowing the street in that area to try and slow traffic down. At that part of Van Ralty, you can go almost a mile without having to stop, and it becomes a pretty fast thoroughfare, which is not conducive for people trying to cross the street to get into the park or to leave the park to go back toward their homes. So one of the thoughts was to provide a traffic calming mechanism by bumping out a little bit at the intersections The sidewalk area, it makes the distance to travel shorter. It narrows the road, which naturally causes us all to slow down as we get through that kind of area. No decision's been made yet, but we're certainly looking at ways to make traffic go a whole lot slower through there because it's not at all conducive for street crossing.
I do not like it at all. I'll probably be taking a different route if they do that because I don't, and when boats with trailers and snow plows, and there's a lot of things to consider when you do that.
There are, and I mean I've certainly driven cars with boat trailers on them, and I mean it's going to make you go slower, and that's kind of the point of the whole thing is that you know really it is an entrance to a park, a pedestrian entrance to a park, and right now. There's, I think, a legitimate feel that sometimes you're taking your life in your hands as you cross over that street, especially as cars come whipping around the corner. So, you know, no final decision's been made, but the goal is to make things travel more cautiously, more slowly through there so that there's a better mix between the pedestrian uses and the automobile uses.
Okay, thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yes. Could he tell us what time that boat's going out today?
I think they're leaving today around 12:30. So they're not here for very long. They got in around 8:30, something like that, this morning, and they're here for a few hours, then they pull out. So I don't know how long it takes them to get from the Replank dock to the channel, which I have not seen them go through the channel yet, but wow, I'd love to see that happen. I mean,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
it's
very nice, but we'd like to see it again.
Yeah, I'm guessing sometime between noon and 2 is my hunch as to when it'll make its way through there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, bye-bye.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Good morning, Juke, and good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
One caller had asked about the bump outs that are going in over by Collin Park in that area, or the police idea of having some there, kind of a feeling, test-out feeling period now. Was wondering if a well-placed stop signs in that area or traffic lights might, you know, be a cheaper answer to what's going on. Also, maybe a little better patrolling of the stop sign area right at the end of the Civic Center there by the VFW, where the street comes around on the curve. There are a lot of cars that just roll through the stop signs there or just blow through them without any cause of reaction towards people in that area walking or riding bikes. Or other drivers. If we could get that traffic either stopped periodically or slowed down to what the law says.
Let me let the mayor have a quick answer here.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah,
have a good day.
You know, understandably, I think, you know, a lot of us who are not engineers sort of the default answer is let's put a stop sign there. The traffic folks will tell you that adding stop signs without having sufficient traffic counts to do it is really not a situation you want to do because it actually causes more problems than it solves. For example, you come around the corner, all of a sudden there's a four-way stop and you don't see it because there's not a lot of not a lot of time between you turning the corner and having to stop. As for the enforcement thing, you know, surely there's always more that can be done, but you know, let's be candid. You know, we could in theory put an officer at a lot of the intersections where you've got issues of, you know, people not adhering to the law. It's just not possible to be everywhere at once, and I don't think, frankly, we'd want people everywhere at
Mayor,
once.
Mayor, I got to let you go now, right? Because you got to get down to the groundbreaking
exactly.
ceremony, I know.
Thank
okay?
you, Jake. Hey, great to see you. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
See you next month.